Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. I want to talk to you about what the Lord was sharing with me more this morning. And I want to talk to you about obeying Jesus. I want to talk to you about obeying Jesus in what I call the great expectation. The great expectation, or going out. Some people even call it evangelism. Did you know, according to Dr. Ben Carson in his book, America the Beautiful, he says that the fastest growing religion in America is Islam. But he says this in his book. He says, but it is not by conversion, it's by birth. See, the difference in God's kingdom, of which Jesus Christ is the Lord of, is you have to choose to make Jesus the Lord of your life. There's no such thing as being born naturally into the kingdom of God. You have to be born spiritually. You have to be born again, is what Jesus told Nicodemus. You see, that's the real deal, being born again. And so of all the things that Jesus could have said when Jesus was talking to his disciples, he walked this sinless life. He was born of a virgin. He walked this sinless life. He obeyed the Lord even unto the cross. He laid down his life for our sin. He was put into the grave. On the third day, he was raised from the dead, and he walked with his disciples for a period of time. And as he was about to ascend to go be with the Father, this is what he said. This is what God said to us. This is that moment in time that God is talking to us. And I just want to encourage you. He did not say, go build a building. He didn't say, go get a nice looking dress or a nice looking suit. He didn't say, go write pretty songs. This is what he said. I mean, it's nothing about a pretty dress and a nice building as long as we're doing what he said. And this is so important. If you've listened to the first hour, this is the response. This is our response to it. This is our response, because God loves mankind, but they need to know his love. And it's us. It's us, that's those who claim to be his disciples, that tell them that he loves them and has a plan for their life. This is simply what he said to them. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news. And those that believe, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Told him to go. And then he says, these signs will follow those who believe. You're not supposed to follow signs. I understand you may need some encouragement. You need to go somewhere. But after you're being encouraged, you need to go out and believe God that these signs are going to follow you. And he begins to talk about casting out demons, prophesying, you know, laying hands on the sick and they're recovering. In other words, the glory of God will manifest as you go out, but you got to go. And so this is what I want to talk about. We'll talk about Mark chapter 16, verse 20. In the Word of God says, then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them, confirming his word by signs that accompanied it. What happened? Jesus told them, this is what you need to do. And guess what? They did what he said. It's an interesting concept, I know, in America. But this is the true kingdom of God. You shouldn't be fearful that Islam is the fastest growing religion, or that Muslims are coming by lots of numbers to different nations. You should get excited, because you can witness to the Muslim, and the Muslim can be saved. God loves the Muslim. But you got to tell them. Let's break that down a little bit. Let's just break that one simple verse down. Mark 16, verse 20. The first word it starts with is then. So once we've made Jesus the Lord of our lives, once he's told us his expectations of us, there comes a then in our life. I'm trying not to lose my cool right here. You know, I can only be in a pep rally for so long until a then shows up. Okay, then we play the game.
Right.
Then you blow the whistle. Then we go. At what point are we going to do something here? They heard. They were disciples. Then they went out and they told someone. Listen, quit waiting for this mysterious encounter with whatever excuse you're using, held back by two small little demons of fear, being able to step out and say, you know what? This expectation of God is for me, and I'm going to answer before God for giving every excuse. And listen, we are I'm talking to Americans right now. We are the wealthiest nation on the face of the earth. There's never been another nation like America that God has blessed in such a way that we've put so much wealth into all the world and brought so many people out of poverty and bondage and all these different things. Our poorest people are richer than 80% of the world, but God's going to hold us accountable for what we have and what we did. We use that as an excuse not to have a then in our life? And if you are a parent and you've never reached a then, your children are going to start asking you, well, then why? So there has to be a then. He said, then the disciples. Well, this is very important because they were disciples. So we have to break this word down because you don't want to just like have a then in there and you don't even know who we're talking about right here. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, Jesus said very plainly, go make disciples of all the nation, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded them. Jesus said in Matthew or in John chapter 8, verse 31 through 32, Jesus said, if you hold to or follow my teachings, then you're really my disciple. Listen, Jesus' teachings is not some optional concept. If you love him, you want to know what he wants you to do, and you want to do it. It's not something being forced on you. It's something you're desperately seeking out. What else do you want me to do? And how do you want me to live my life? And I know that you're going to empower me by your spirit because I love you and I trust you with your finished work on the cross of Christ. And listen, I'm supposed to be taught the ways of God and I'm expected to be following them and I need to be a disciple because then the disciples went out. Listen, you can't go out if you're not a disciple. We can be a disciple of a lot of things, ideas, organizations, even people. But when it comes to being true disciples, true evangelists, if you would, that lead people to Jesus Christ, it requires us first to be a disciple ourselves of the one we profess to be a disciple of. It's like, I went out and told somebody about Jesus, but, you know, they just are these terrible people. It's like, abide? Do you read the word? I don't have a lot of time, but I believe and I told them about. So your life is a contradiction to the very message that you're telling them.
Preaching, right.
Because this is God's work. You're partnering with God. God's partnering with you. But if you don't know God, he's not partnering with you. You're being religious. It's not a hard thing to do. It's something that somebody who loves. I mean, listen, you got your car and you told everybody about how you love the seats in your car and how you love the radio in your car and how you love the color of your car and how you love the deal you got on your car. And you can't tell anybody about how you love Jesus. You know what? Because you don't love him yet. You first got to become his disciple. Don't go out and be some religious whatever. Meet Jesus. Make him the Lord of your life. Realize it's a good thing. God loves you so much. We're taught more about that. But understand, he's got a plan for your life, and he will heal you and restore you, and the love of God will be so overflowing in your life that you will just share that love with others. But once you're a disciple, he says, then the disciples went out. There comes not only a then, not only a discipleship in our life, but there becomes a going out in our life. The church has turned into a come-y church instead of a go-y church. If we're going to ever, think about this, even a fisherman is ever going to catch a fish, I mean, you're going to have to get out to the body of water where the fish are at. I mean, just think of the natural cons. Let's just talk about fishing for a moment. And if you don't have a fishing pole, they're not going to jump out of the water into your arms. And if you don't have your hook in the water, they're not going to bite your hook. And if you have nothing on your hook, if you have no experience in God, if you have no encounter with God, if you have no testimony, you have no glory of God in your life, then they're not going to, the fish is, if you have no bait on your hook, why would they even bite it in the first place? It's like it's a piece of metal floating around in the air with a fool up there holding it in the water. You think we're stupid or something? But even a fish figures out after a while that if you think that you're going to continue to trap people and every dime is put into like $1.3 million per baptized believer, according to George Barna, in this new religious system that's created in America to entice a fish to jump into your building. So then the church comes up with all these programs and ideas and fleshly and carnal entertainment to be able to draw the fish in, and you drew them in on sin, and now the only way you can keep them there is on sin, and they never make Jesus the Lord of their life. It's about you going out, and people should fear coming amongst the number of God's people. They should fear the presence of God. If they don't want God, if they didn't mean harm to God, they should be fear and trembling. Paul said, I warned you day and night with tears that wolves would come in amongst your number. You don't advertise and throw sheep out for bait so you can possibly win somebody by sin, and somehow miraculously you think you're going to all of a sudden go after God when you actually won them by darkness. You got to go out. You go out. I'm not saying that somebody doesn't come in as a guest or whatever, and they hear the gospel and they get saved or whatever's going on. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying, listen, there's most of the people are out. But even a fish gets wise after a while, and they pass it on to their little fish buddies, and they go, quit hanging around that thing over there because it's a trap. Mm-hmm. It's a trap. They're going to want you to believe God. Mm-hmm. They're going to want you to make Jesus the Lord of their life. Even a fish figures that after a while. You got to change your fishing hole. This is what Peter Wagner says. He says, the fastest form of soul winning in the kingdom of God, people coming in the kingdom of God, is a new church plant. Why? Because it's a new nest. It's a new trap for people, the way the Americans think, versus saying, you know what? We just go out all the time. We'll just quit that. Let's have a soul winning body of Christ everywhere we are through conversion. There's no such thing as being birthed naturally into the kingdom of God. It's being born again. Having an authentic testimony to be able to share with somebody of the glory of God that draws them. Listen, if you just stick a hook in the water with fake bait, the fish is going to realize once they bite in it, this is the trap. You enticed me, and this has nothing to do. You don't know this God you're talking about. Mm-hmm. But they want. You have to share with people what they want, and they want God. I was watching the CNN interview
with
what's the journalist's name?
Anderson?
Anderson Cooper.
Anderson Cooper interviewed this Christian, Miss Tuff, Antoinette Tuff, and he was so hungry for the God of her life. It was the most beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. And he was so authentically wanting a relationship with her God. And we'll share this with you in the future on VFN Radio. But listen, that's how it is. It's not a trap. It's just... You have to be authentic. You really got to know Jesus. Hmm. The sons of Sceva, right? They didn't know Jesus. Mm-hmm. They knew somebody who knew Jesus, and they would bring them up. Yeah, according to Brother John, he said, you know, according to Brother Pat, he said, and one day that caught up with them, didn't it?
Sure did.
They come and beat the stew out of them, didn't they? Mm-hmm. It worked a while. A couple times. Hmm. I mean, it even worked for the Pharisees a couple times.
Yeah.
And then they ran, because they got the stew beat out of them by the devil. Paul said, I don't come with you with enticing words. If you're sitting back thinking, okay, I'm going to go out, and I got to figure out some secret catchphrases, and I've got to be able to dress a certain way, and I've got to be able to say things a certain way, and I've got to be able, what you're talking about? You're talking about enticements, brother. You're going to confuse them. You're going to confuse them, and they're going to be drawn to you instead of drawn to God. This is what Paul said. Paul says, I renounced all dark ways, and I got rid of all. I made sure I did not speak with any enticing words, because I wanted your confidence and your faith to be in the glory of God and not me and not man. Mm-hmm. You see, that doesn't work if you don't know God yet. And everybody, I mean, I can tell you right now, and we don't have a lot of time, but John can tell you. I mean, he went door to door in the Bible Belt talking to everybody. Everybody said they was a Christian almost.
That's right.
That's not true, though. Mm-mm. But they were really convinced that they're a Christian. Mm-hmm. But if they went out talking like we're talking, they're confronted is like, there's no God. Where's God at? Moses said, the only thing that differentiates me from the world is the you, God, and your presence, God. Well, listen, God's not with you if you aren't with God. So it's not about coming up with enticing words. You're going out because you love God. And he said, listen, go into all the world. So he's telling you, hey, go. So then what? You as a disciple, you go out. You go out in the world. And what do? You go out and you preach. What do you preach? You don't preach your organization, your concept, your ideas, your next little fad and win and all this kind of stuff. You preach the kingdom of God. Well, I don't know. I just, you know, I don't want anybody to hear me. You know, I don't want to say it too loud because everybody in Starbucks might be looking at me and in the mall, in the street, you know, kind of like ashamed. Is that the word you're looking for? Well, this is what Romans 1:16 says. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. Hmm. You see, the power of God is not going to manifest in a witness to someone about a God that you're ashamed of. And you got to quit calling it something that it's not. You got to call it what it is. You got to call it what it is. Mark chapter 10, verse 32, Jesus, what Jesus said. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge him before the Father in heaven. But whoever is ashamed of me, whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Listen, that encounter, that potential encounter that you were thinking about doing, which revealed you being ashamed of Jesus, revealed something very important in your life. You need to repent. You see, dear God, I'm ashamed of you. I am ashamed of you. And more than likely, the reason why you would feel that way, because you don't know him. Mm-hmm. You know about religion. You know about somebody told you, let's we got a building program going on here, so we want to be able to build a wing on here. It happens, you know, we get in debt and people pay the debt and whatever. Mm-hmm. You just don't know Jesus yet. You won't be ashamed of him once you know him. You'll be thankful for him. So don't beat yourself up. Just realize, I was about to talk about somebody I didn't even believe in. And then make Jesus the Lord of your life. What is the good news? What do we preach? The good news is this, when he says in Romans 1:16, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. And what is the gospel? The gospel, when you think about it, John chapter 3, verse 16 through 17, when Jesus tells us, listen, for the Son of God, for God so loved the world, he loves the people of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that's Jesus, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. It's eternal life. That's the good news, that we can live forever with God. If it's only about this life, and if Jesus didn't get raised from the dead, the Word of God tells us we should be pitied more than anybody on the face of the earth, but it's about the life beyond this life. For God did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Jesus Christ. Listen, our job is not to be condemning and putting down the Word. Our job is to go out and tell them that God loves them and God's got a plan for their life. Paul begins to tell us in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, he says, listen, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it is with the heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you confess that you are saved. Oh. But you have to understand, when Jesus talks about it in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, he says this, but not everyone who says with their mouth. Not everyone who says. You see, Paul's talking about if you say with your mouth, right? Mm-hmm. And it is with our mouth that we confess and are saved. And Jesus says in Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name, didn't we drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them, this is Jesus. The Jesus being preached today is a different Jesus than the Jesus that's talking right here. And then he said, then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. It's not complicated. It's not a hidden secret. It's just when you say Jesus is the Lord of your life, he's supposed to be the Lord of your life. Huh. Hence, you're no longer friends with the world's systems, the world ways. you renounce sinful ways. You really are his disciple. You want to know his ways and you want to walk in them. And you have fruit in your life that says that you are. See, Jesus tells us very plainly in Matthew 7, 15 through 20, he says, Jesus, because this is the thing, is, well, how do you know then? How do you know who really made an authentic decision for Christ and who didn't? And how do you know this person, they're talking about Jesus, but how do I know that's not Jesus? And how do I know? And Jesus said, this is how you know, Matthew 7, 15 through 20. He says, Jesus tells us plainly, you'll know them by their fruit. You'll know them by their fruit. You see, if someone says Jesus is the Lord of their life, that have not made him the Lord of their life, that's why it's so complicated and so hard and so difficult, because they are their own Lord of their own life. They're still moving in self-righteousness. Who doesn't want to get out of hell-free car? By the way, God doesn't pass them out. Mm-mm. He only gives them the sons and daughters. Don't be disappointed. Realize today you can make Jesus the Lord of your life. It's time to step out of the religious Pharisaical circle and say, you know what? I'm going to follow this Jesus. I'm going to be his disciple, that everybody that sees me is going to know I walk. That man walks with God. That man loves Jesus. He's not perfect, but he walks with God. God speaks to him. You can make Jesus the Lord, the love of your life. You talk about everything else you love. Listen, if you love Jesus, you would have been talking about him. But you can find out how much he loves you. And because he loves you first, you can love him. What does that mean? Well, just like in a natural marriage, when you say, I make Jesus the Lord of my life, you begin to renounce all the love of the world and these other false gods and the world's ways and dark ways, and you become his disciple. Sir, your wife expects you to come home for dinner. He expects you not to have all these other relationships with these women.
Right.
That's a normal expectation.
Right.
Ma'am, your husband expects you to come home to him because you said, I'm yours. I'm talking about marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Why does it get all confused and fuzzy when you're saying that Jesus is the Lord of your life and you're trying to figure that out? It's because you haven't made him the Lord of your life. It's the same expectations you would have in anybody. But it's a win-win. It's a win-win. It's only those who said Jesus is the Lord of their life that didn't make him the Lord of their life that has any difficulty at all of obeying Jesus in this area when it then comes up and says, now you need to go out and tell people about him. And they go, about who and how do I tell them? And it's like, and what they're saying is, I don't know this Jesus. How can I tell somebody about them? I mean, that's the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm ashamed of him. I'm ashamed. I gotta whisper. Do you know Jesus? It's like, you just wasted your time. Because now he's ashamed of you before the Father. Mm-hmm. I'm just talking about what he says here. So you understand, you're going out because you love him. And he has a plan for your life and a plan for the life. You're loving God, loving others, and you're leading others to the same. Because then the next thing he says, then the disciples went out and preached everywhere. What did they preach? They preached the gospel of which they were walking in, which they were a part of, and they shared. And where did they go? They went everywhere. They went everywhere. This is so important because so many people are paralyzed by indecision. Is this the right place? Is this the right time? Is this the right person? Everywhere. Everywhere is everywhere. So if somebody was flying a helicopter and had a rope dangling from it and they got on the big old bullhorn, they yelled at you while you're standing on the ground, hey, grab a hold of the rope down there. And you were brave enough to grab a hold of the rope and they're flying you around and you're dangling from this string from the helicopter. And all of a sudden the pilot, you don't even can't talk to him because you're way down on this rope. They take you and drop you in this particular job, put you in this neighborhood, in this community, in this people group, in this family. And guess what? That's everywhere. That's where you tell people about him. Everywhere. You have neighbors and family members going to hell, and they don't even know that you're even a believer. They don't even know you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. They don't even know you have the key to eternal life. They don't even know that you believe in the life after this life, because you live so much for this life, it confuses them. And Jesus said, how will they know unless someone tells them? And how will someone tell them unless someone goes? And how will someone go unless they're sent? Well, listen, Jesus says, now go into all the world. So everywhere. What does that mean? Come up with any idea you want to and ask yourself, is that everywhere? Is that everyone? And that is every time. And finally, he says, after Jesus gave them these instructions, then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them. Think about it. The King of the universe, who sits at the right hand of the Father, who gave his life for you and for them if they make the decision, he's working with you. Now that you know him, now that you're his disciple, now that you believe in the God that you actually preach and you tell people about, now that you're abiding with him, listen. He's working with you. He's working with you. Think about this. Know that if all that I discuss is a reality in your life, and you go out and you preach the gospel, the good news, the Son of God, Jesus, works with you. He works with you. I ain't got nobody to go with. Jesus is going with you. Oh, I don't know him. Do you have anybody else that can go with me?
Yeah. In a little trouble.
You know, Joyce Meyer, she would always say, the problem is we have a whole bunch of church filled with unbelieving believers. Hebrews, listen to this. Hebrews 11, verse 1 and verse 7. Verse 1 says, now faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. And verse 6 says, without faith it's impossible to please God. You see, you're not going to have any faith in a God that you have no faith in. You're going to have faith in him to move when you're talking to somebody about him, that he's working with you. If you don't even have faith to him, save you. It's like, what are you doing? You know, if you're in darkness, worse than a lie is a religious lie. It's about a relationship. So faith is very important. So the reality that we need to stir our faith and remember the goodness and the glory and soak and abide in the Word of God. Listen, Romans chapter 12, verse 3, we're told very specifically that everyone's been given a measure of faith. And that person has a measure of faith to be able to respond to the gospel, respond to the movement, the Word of God, and God confirming His Word. And so you're going to need to be able to stir that faith inside of them when you're talking to them. Why? Because think about this. In Mark 6, 5 through 6, Jesus could not, this is what he says, Jesus could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. What restricted them from moving in to the fullness of God was their lack of faith. But realize, since we learned in Romans 12, 3, that everybody's given a measure of faith, and you need to be loaded up on glory stories. You need to be loaded up on all the times that God's moved in your life and moved in other people's life, everything you've seen, everything you heard. And if you haven't yet heard, I Can't Stop Talking, you need to get I Can't Stop Talking. And you need to listen to it and watch it on VFN TV. Why? Because you're going to need to communicate with yourself to stir your faith, but you're also going to need to stir their measure of faith up, because they're going to need faith to respond to what you're going to say. When Jesus speaks to the blind man and he heals him in Matthew 9:29, he says, according to your faith, it will be done to you. Well, if you just go up to them some analytical argument and you're talking to them about, you know, whatever, it's like, that has no faith in that at all. You want to stir their faith so their faith can lock into what God is doing, and all of a sudden God begins to move. God responds by faith. Remember, without faith it's impossible to please God. You want them to please God, but you have to stir that faith. What do you do? You begin to tell them of the goodness of God. And let me tell you something. If you're not hanging out with a group of believers, if you're not in a fellowship of people that walk with God, that hear God, that see God move on a continual basis, that God's presence is there, and that you're seeing people God answer his prayer, the prayers and the glory of God and healing and all that, you need to find one. If you haven't found one yet, Vine Fellowship Network, you can join us at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. If you're not in the Gulf Coast region, you can join us as a virtual member or e-member or find a local church near you. Or if you are, come see us and you can find our location at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Listen, it is time. Now is the time. This is even Jesus. Jesus wasn't doing miracles in Nazareth because their faith was lacking. So we're going to have to help. If we want that person to be saved, if we love them like God loves them, we're going to first have to connect with their measure of faith and begin to share with them the glory stories. And listen, you know, if you're hanging out with us, we got a lot of glory to share. And there's a lot of places God's moving, but I know that he's moving and across the board. Jesus tells the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5, verse 34, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole." So faith is pretty relevant. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. What moves God is faith. They're given a measure of faith. It's your faith that you're going out, that God's working with you, but it's going to be not just your faith alone, because Jesus was Jesus. He didn't change who he was. He was the Son of God, and it was their lack of faith in receiving from him as the Son of God that caused them to miss out on eternity and caused them to miss out on everything they could have had there. But, you know, we can partner with that measure of faith and begin to share with them the experiences in God that we've seen and that we heard and tell them about it, and then we begin to tell them about the gospel. So Luke 10 tells us, when you go out, you enter a town, and if they welcome you there, what does that mean? If they haven't welcomed you, shut up. If they didn't give you permission to talk to them and you didn't ask, you're messing things up. Listen, God does not invade someone's life and come in against their will. If the first thing you did was offend them, you're not going to stir their faith up, their measure of faith. You ask permission. And he says, if you're welcomed there, then begin to allow the glory of God to begin to move, lay hands on the sick, to be healed. And when they experience the power and the presence of God, when their measure of faith gets stirred and they listen to the glory that you're sharing with them and God begins to confirm his word and moves in their life, he says, then at that moment, I want you to preach the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is near. Why would you say the kingdom of God is near? Because we, as believers, the kingdom of God is inside of us. Now, the kingdom just manifested the glory of God when God responded, which they've experienced a healing, a word of knowledge, whatever it was, whatever their need was. They're not saved because they got healed. They just experienced the glory of God. Mm-hmm. That's why you got to preach the kingdom of God is near them, but it can be in them if they make Jesus the Lord of their life. If they go, yes, I want this Jesus, yes, I want this Jesus, then you begin to lead them in the good news, the gospel that we talked about. And you invite them in. You invite them into the kingdom of God. Understand, it's not that complicated. Even simple fishermen can do it. And this is what he says, and the last part of this verse was, and he confirmed his word. He worked with them and confirmed his word. Listen, if you've been struggling, it's because it's probably been your word. It could be you don't know him, or you're ashamed of him. All these different variables I talked about. But the truth is, once you know him, you're going to be grateful. Mm-hmm. He is awesome. There's nobody like him. Above him, there's none other. That's why every demonic religion out there tries to attack him. Why don't they attack something else? Because he's the real deal. He is the real deal. He's the real deal. That's why. Because it's at his name that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the one that's worthy to be praised. He's the one that God, the creator of the universe, is going to give the seal, title deed to the earth. That's why. You don't want to be ashamed of him. So he confirms his word. So if you're not in his word, how are you going to know what word to even speak? He doesn't confirm our word. He's not confirming some religious organization, your growth plan. He's not confirming some argument, some intellectual argument you have. He's not confirming our enticements that we put out. He's confirming his word. Mm-hmm. And disciples are the ones who not only know his word, but actually follow his word. Remember? Mm-hmm. Jesus said, these are truly disciples. So you have to be, if you're not a disciple, you're not going to be able to know his word. And he's not going to confirm whatever word you're using because it's not his word. If you're a disciple, you're a person who follows his teachings. You know them and you follow them. You see, abiders, people that abide with God, are the ones that not only know his word, but they know his now word. his rhema word. You see, it's that now word. It's that word at the moment that I needed to hear when you knocked at my door, when you stopped me in the mall. It's that fresh word where God is the now. Now faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. Today is the day of salvation. God is our ever-present help in time of trouble. It's that now moment. It's that encounter with the kingdom of God. And you see, if you don't abide with him, all you have is knowledge of God. And by the way, and God's word is so powerful. As we found out when Jesus shared about Matthew 7, even people who don't know him can win him. So you can know him but not abide with him and still be saved and win people to the Lord. But why not just enjoy and bring people into the fullness and the joy? If you want to abide with him, and this is what Jesus said, apart from him, you can't, apart from abiding with him, remaining in him, you can't do nothing. You can't bear fruit. But if you abide with him, you can be fruitful. What does that mean? When your then comes into your life and you become a disciple and you step out and you go out, listen, you want to be fruitful in this? You're going to need to abide with him. And if you don't know how to abide, you need a simple plan. We have a simple plan for you. It's at iabide.org. Iabide.org. Begin to abide for others. Begin to spend time about other people. God, who do you want me? Begin to write a list of names of people that you know. Begin to pray over those people and say, God, I want these people to be one to you. Begin to pray over empty chairs in your church gathering. Begin to pray over your neighbors in your community. Begin to pray over all those everywhere places and begin to speak into their life and boldly proclaim the gospel of God and stir their faith so they can experience God. And what happens? Signs follow. Signs accompany us. There will be a sign that is present when there's faith present. If all that has taken place that I've discussed already has taken place, and that's the reality in your life, signs will follow those who believe, who have faith, who stirred that measure of faith in the other person. If their faith never got stirred, you know, but even in that, I've seen people for 6 months wrestle with a rhema word I gave them, and they could not get over it. Why? Because that was a God moment. And people come up to me and say, you know, when that last time we were talking, and they're starting, I'm like, what are you talking about? Hmm. And what it was is God used me at that one moment to speak into that person's life. Mm-hmm. So before you go, check yourself to see if you're in the faith. Become Jesus' disciple. Go out in twos, because if two agree, think about it. If two walk out in agreement, because with the two of you and God, a cord of three strands, it's a powerful witness. It's a powerful witness. Write down the headlines. Don't get all detailed and stuff. Just write down the headlines of all the glory of God, all the answered prayers and that you've witnessed personally, that you've seen in others. Write down those headlines. Write, you know, woman healed from four stage breast cancer. Man given price at half, brand new house at half off. Doctor sees spot on liver, gone in 90 days. Man needs financial miracle. God provides $1 million. Whatever they are, just all these different things that God is doing. And just soak on them, because those are moments about the glory of God. Remember, when Jesus turned the water into wine, the Word of God says this is the first time he revealed his glory. Let me tell you what the revealing of the glory of God is. It's God answering prayer. When people said, oh, that I might see, that was a prayer request. Just because they weren't looking up to the sky, to the throne of God when they said it, they happened to be looking horizontal because God was walking on the face of the earth, did not mean that was not a request for God to do something. Prayer is a conversation with God. It's a conversation with God. When they looked horizontally at Jesus walking on the face of the earth and said, heal me, deliver me, set my son free. That was a request. And what happened? The glory of God responded to their faith and boom. Write down those headlines, you know, like a newspaper headline. So you can just, what happens? As soon as you write them down, the Holy Spirit is just going to bring them out of you. Why do you need that? Because they have a measure of faith that you need to stir, and you yourself need your faith stirred. And in the context of that, they begin to believe. And when you deliver, they're able to see, their eyes are open, their mind's no longer blinded, and they see that God loves them. God's got a plan for their life. And they say, I want this Jesus in my life. And then this kingdom that's near them becomes in them. And all of a sudden, God sits on the throne of their heart. you ask them a simple question. Do you want to make this Jesus the Lord of your life? Don't ever walk away with an assumption. I'm so sick of those assumptions because they end up putting these assumptions on boards, put them over classes, give them churches. And it's like, did you ever ask them if they made Jesus the Lord of their life? No, I just assumed because ask the question, do you want to make just Jesus the Lord of your life? And if they say yes, you share with them the gospel that we talked about. You truly make him the Lord of your life. You confess him as your Savior. He's the Son of God, sent to die for your sins, the one and only. And then you walk them through the prayer of faith. You walk them into the body of believers. You walk them into right relationship with the family of God. You walk them through discipleship, and then you walk them back out to their then. To do what? The same thing that just happened that brought them in. Loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same. One more time, Mark chapter 16, verse 20, after Jesus did everything he did for 3 years, and he was risen from the dead, and he's about to go be with the Father, what did he say? He told them to go into all the world, to preach the gospel to everyone, those that believe, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and these signs will follow you. And he talked about the glory of God, and in Mark 16, 20, it says, then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with him. The Lord worked with them, confirming his word by signs that accompanied it. You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com. or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. VFN Radio is brought to you by friends like you and our underwriters. Find out more how you can join them by giving or how you, your business or ministry, can become an underwriter at VFNTV.com.